I want to once again today ask an interest in your prayers. As I stand before you, I certainly today, as always, feel a great need of the Lord's help. The thought that the Lord has given me today is certainly one that needs to be understood among God's people. And I just want to ask you today to pray that the Lord would grant liberty to speak these things and that he might use them to be effective in our hearts. I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and I want to begin reading with verse 28. So if you want to read with me today, please turn your Bibles to Luke, chapter 19, and we want to begin reading with verse 28, and I have actually a fairly short scripture reading today. Luke 19, verse 28 says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent their way, and they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon." That's reading this morning from Luke 19, verses 28 through 35 for my scripture lesson this morning. I want to ask you here for just a moment to think about what took place here with Jesus sending his disciples to untie and to get a colt that did not belong to them. Now, you and I today, we well know that if we go and take something that's not ours, that's known as stealing, thievery. We are not supposed to go and take something that doesn't belong to us, are we? But I want you to know today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he never stole anything. In fact, there was never any sin at all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He never committed any kind of sin. But he did tell his disciples to go and to loose and to bring this colt to him. And he told them, he said, while you're doing this, if anybody comes to you and asks you about it, if anybody approaches you and asks you why you're doing it, you just tell them that the Lord has need of him. And that's exactly what happened. They went and they loosed this colt. And the Bible told us here that the owners of it did ask them why they had done this thing. And they gave them the answer that Jesus told them to give. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment with me, and this is what I want to use today as the title of my my message this morning. When these men did this, I want you to consider what was really happening here. There was no act of thievery. There was no theft taking place here. There was nothing being stolen. This colt was not being stolen. But what these men were doing was they were getting it and they were taking it to its rightful owner. And that's what I want to speak about today. And the title of my message will be Giving to the Rightful Owner. And what I want to show today, and this is the thought that the Lord has burdened my heart with for this message this morning. What I want to show today is that God is the rightful owner. And that you and I really, truly don't have anything. Now, I'll say this. There may be some of you here today. I don't know. Of course, I don't know your hearts. But there may be some of you here today that may not agree with that. But I believe that it's easily proven from the scriptures that God is the owner of all things. And that what you and I have, I know sometimes that from a natural standpoint, I know that we consider things from the aspect of ownership. We think of something and we think we own this. But the truth is, if we really look at the reality of it, the things that we have in our possession are only things that God has blessed us with and has given us the care of while we are here. He has given us those things to use. And if you look back when God created man, He placed man in the garden. God created man, and God also planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there in that garden, He placed the man that He had made, and He put him there to dress and to keep the garden. But we know that God owned the garden. The garden belonged to God. Man was only placed there to take care of what was God's. And I believe that in our lives today, it is still the same concept that still exists. That you and I have been given things by God. We have been blessed by the Lord. And God has supplied for His people the things that we need. But we are only stewards over those things as long as we have need of them. As long as God has need of us to be here in this world, we are only stewards over those things that God has blessed us with, and God can remove them from us any time that He chooses and not be guilty of doing anything wrong towards you and I. The Lord Jesus Christ was entitled to the colt. The Lord Jesus Christ was the rightful owner of the colt. And the Lord had every right to send those men there to untie that colt and to bring it to Him when He had need of it. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the right to require of you and I anything that He chooses because He owns it in the first place. He has the right to require of us anything that He wants, any service that God wants, any way that He would have need of you and I today. He has the right to require that because it all belongs to Him in the first place. I want you to consider some scriptures with me. And I don't know if you heard this story or not. I heard this just not very long ago, but I heard this story about Satan challenging God. And what he did was he came to God and he said, God, I can make a man from the dust the same way that you did. And God accepted Satan's challenge and he said, well, okay, Satan, if you can make a man from the dust the same way that I did, let's see it. And so Satan stooped down and he began to attempt to form man from the dust. And God said, no, wait a minute. And Satan looked at him and said, what? And God said, you have to get your own dust. And that's about the way it is. You know, God made man from the dust of the earth, but we've got to realize that God owned the very dust that he made him from. And so we find in the 50th Psalm, and I'm sure you've heard me make reference to this psalm. It's one of my favorite psalms that speaks about this. We find in the 50th Psalm in verse 10 that God said, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Now, a lot of times, my wife and I drive down the road, and when we get out in the country and I see the cattle, a lot of times I'll quote that verse while we're driving. That verse just comes to my mind time and time again. And I think about when I see, maybe 100 head of cattle or 200 head of cattle or whatever it is out there on a green hill somewhere. I think, somewhere there's a farmer, and if you went to that farmer, he would probably have papers and he would tell you that those cattle belong to him. But from what I understand in God's word, and I'd rather take God's word than anybody else's word, I understand in God's word that those cattle belong to him. They belong to the Lord. He owns the cattle up on a thousand hills. The rabbit that's hopping through the woods, or the fox, or whatever that it is, God said, every beast of the forest is mine. Why are they his? Because he made them. He created them, every one, and they belong to the Lord. He went on in that psalm and he said, if I were hungry. Now we know that God is a spirit, and that God doesn't have the same needs that you and I have. We know that God is self-existent. We know that God is self-sufficient. And we know that he doesn't need the things that you and I need to sustain him. God doesn't have to, he doesn't have a body like ours that has to be fed, that has to be nourished. But what he was saying here was, if that were the case, God said, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Now, if you had a farm somewhere and you had 100 head of cattle out there on the farm, and if God were to get hungry and he were to come and take one of your cows there to eat it, that would be God's right, wouldn't it? I mean, he would have the right to do that because truly they belong to the Lord. And so that's why God said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't have to tell you. Not only because God would not need us to wait on him, but because also God would have access to everything that he desired. It's his. God is the owner. You know, I believe that for the people of God, that once we can ever get this concept in our mind, once we can ever really get this ingrained in us, that God owns everything, not only will we be more realistic in our thoughts, but I believe that we'll be more thankful. I'm afraid sometimes that we miss the blessings of God, and we fail to give God thanks like we should because we believe that we have gained things by ourselves, and we haven't. James in chapter 1 verse 17, I believe it is, he makes that plain to us. He said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The good things in your life are sent down from God up in heaven. Every one of them, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every gift. Now, if we were to keep that thought before us and really realize it the way that we should, then I'm convinced that we would be more thankful for the things that we have. We wouldn't be so prone to jump up in the morning and run and grab the milk out of the refrigerator and the cereal out of the cabinet and eat a hurried breakfast, perhaps without giving thought to the fact that God blessed it with us. But you know, that's what many people do, isn't it? They jump up in the morning, their feet hit the floor in a trot, and we begin our day and we go about our day, I'm afraid many times not really realizing that God has blessed us with everything that we have. Or perhaps a better way to put it is we do realize, but we don't take the time far too often to stop and to think about the fact that today, if you have a shelter to protect you from the weather, if you've got a place today where you dwell, if you've got a place where you go and you lay your head down upon your pillow at night and you rest somewhat safe and secure, know that God blessed you with that. If you've got food to eat, if you've got water to drink, and our bodies have to have those things in order to live, but know this, that every time that we take a cold drink of water, we're drinking God's water. Every time that we put food into us, we are eating that God has blessed us with. And so the what we might consider the everyday things of life truly come down from above. From the great Father of lights. They come from God. There are things, and I know that the greatest blessing of all that God has blessed us with is eternal life. Blessed us with eternal salvation. But along the way, he gives us many, many things. Job, God's servant Job, he seemed to have a really good grasp on this. He seemed to have a very great realization of this. Because when Job lost his children, we think about the attitude that he had about that. And, you know, God, those of us that are privileged to experience parenthood, we need to always remember this as well, that God blessed us with our children. And he gave them to us, and we are to take care of them. We are to take good care of them. Listen today, those of us that have been blessed with fatherhood, in that blessing, God has also placed upon us a very great responsibility. We are responsible for the welfare of those children. I mean, it gets next to me to see anybody that won't take care of their children, that won't provide for their children. I'll tell you what, friends, we're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to answer to God for how we have tended to the things that He has blessed us with here in this life. And it is so sad in our day how many children in this world are abused and how many of them are neglected. And God loves those children. And I want you to know there's coming a day of reckoning when those that have neglected and abused the children of this land the way that they have, they're going to give account to God for how they have dealt with those precious children. They may get away with all kinds of things in the courts because of the imperfections of our system today. They may get away with all sorts of things in the courts. They may leave their children behind and not even render unto them the financial support that they're supposed to, but they're not going to get away with it in the eyes of God. God blesses us with them, and He commands us and expects us to take care of them. We are to see to it that our children have the proper spiritual raising, aren't we? We are told in the Scriptures, Paul wrote and said, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And we are responsible to God for doing that very thing. But nevertheless, those children belong to the Lord. They belong to the Lord. I have always known, ever since the day that God blessed me with children, I have always known that they are in the hand of God. And how long that they live here in this world will be determined by Him. And when God gets ready to call them out of the walks of this life, there won't be a thing that their earthly father would be able to do about it. Job seemed to understand that. And his attitude toward it was very proper. When he heard that he had lost his children, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a difficult thing for us as human beings. It would certainly be a difficult thing for anybody. It's hard for us to lose our loved ones. It's hard for us to see them go. It's hard for us to watch people die and leave this world. And we have to, I believe sometimes we have to get through those things by just realizing the reality of it, that they belong to God. Every breath that we breathe belongs to the Lord. My life doesn't belong to you. Your life doesn't belong to me. Our lives all belong to the Lord. He gives breath and life to every one of us. And when God gets ready, He'll call us. That's what Job said, "Thou shalt call and I will answer you." And that's what we'll do. Those of us today that have been saved by God's grace, He owns us. He owns us. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel, God owns us. The psalmist in the 24th Psalm, the psalmist David said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, I left that part out, the world and they that dwell therein. All of that belongs to God. The earth is His, The fullness of the earth is his. The world is his. They that dwell in the world are his. They all belong to the Lord. All of it. And we, as the people of God today, we use the term saved a lot. I've been saved. God saved me. And that's fine. That's proper. That's in the Bible. But we also read that we are the redeemed, don't we? Amen. We are the redeemed of God, which means we are the purchased of God. We are God's purchased possession. I want you to know, friend, today, when the Lord saved you, he bought you. He purchased you. He redeemed you from sin. Amen. Took us off the market, as I heard Brother Moran once say, when God redeemed us, he took us off the market never to go on sale again. He bought us. He purchased us from sin. And that's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. He said, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." All of it. Solomon in the third proverb said, "Honor the Lord with all thy substance." Well, why? Because it's all his. "Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." You remember hearing about the widow woman recorded also in Luke's gospel that Jesus spoke about, how that Jesus was watching these people that were rich, and they were going and they were casting their gift into the treasury. And here come this poor widow, and all she had in all the world was two mites. I mean, that was all that the poor lady possessed, was two mites. And she came there to the treasury and she threw those two mites in there. And Jesus said, "This woman has given more than all of the others." Because he said, they of their abundance have cast into the treasury. But this woman has given her whole living. She realized something, didn't she? She understood something, obviously. She obviously understood that whatever that she did have, whether it was a lot or whether it was a little bit, she obviously understood that every bit of it was the Lord's. The widow there that God told Elijah to go to obviously understood that. She had just enough meal left and just a little bit of oil in a cruse. She had just enough left to make one last meal to feed her and her son, and then they were going to be out of provisions, and she said, "We're just going to have to die after this." And God sent Elijah down there to her house, and he went down there, and she told Elijah this, and he told her, he said, "You first make me a little cake." And the woman did that. I mean, she gave it up. She obviously understood something. Well, you and I today, we don't have a lot. And God doesn't deserve just a little bit of what we have. We have nothing, and God owns it all. And we are his. We are his purchased possession. And whatever God asks of you, whatever he may ask of you, he certainly has the right to ask it. Whatever God says to you, "Give this to me. Give this to me." God has the right. And, you know, Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 12. He said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And friend, listen, you and I today that are saved, when we turn our lives over, I mean our entire lives over, to the service of God, don't ever think that we have gone above and beyond the call of duty. We haven't. We are doing our reasonable service, and whatever we give to God, we don't deserve any honor for that. We don't deserve any glory for that. We don't deserve the great credit for that, because whatever that we give to God, all we are doing at the very most, what we are doing is we're giving it back to its rightful owner. The Lord owned that little colt, didn't he? It was his in the first place. He owns us. He owns our lives. He bought us with the blood of Christ. He bought us with that price. And the things that we give to him, you may think, oh, I made a great sacrifice to the Lord. I'll tell you one that made the sacrifice. That was Jesus. Jesus gave up the things he owned. He gave up the glory that he had with God. He gave up what he had there, the comforts that he had there in heaven. He gave up the things that he made. Jesus is the one that made the sacrifice. He left those things behind, all the riches of that, to come down into this world and to live in this sinful world and to walk in a human body and to live a life of poverty and have basically nothing so that you and I could be able to be saved. I want you to know something today. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the river of Jordan, Jesus was being baptized in his own river. He was being baptized in the water he owned. When they took him and they hung him on that cross, I want you to know Jesus made the tree that they crucified him on. He owned it. I get the feeling sometimes when I read it that the men there in that day, they thought they were really in control. They weren't in control. The Lord was in control of that whole situation. He made it all. Render to the Lord the things that belong to him. Today, I want to say this to Brother Jeffrey Dallas Wheat today. It's my prayer that from this very day forward, that he'll be willing to give to the Lord his entire life. That he'll be willing to render to the Lord a life of dedicated service. That from a very young person, from a very young age, that he'll always realize that the Lord owns it all. We need to take care of the things that God has given us, don't we? We need to be good stewards over the blessings of God. But we should never forget that the Lord owns us and everything that we have. It all belongs to him. And we know, we realize that God can take it whenever he chooses, don't we? We realize that. Without doing us any injustice at all, the Lord can require it whenever he chooses. So I want to ask Brother Ronnie, if he would, to come and begin some songs. I'd like to ask Brother Jeffrey Dallas to come forward.